temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively.
Sports.
Shot clock at four. Doncic. The step back three. You bet.
Music.
You set my world on fire. Yes,
and even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here on TuneIn. Go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the IONIQ 5 and IONIQ 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower IONIQ 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Hey, if you are in Boston and you're a Celtics fan, maybe you're just saying, heck with it, I'm staying up all night. Why not? And we're glad to have you if you're listening on our Boston affiliate or its family of stations, WEEI. Celtics win banner number 18 on June 17th, the 16th anniversary of their last NBA title. They do it after 107 combined playoff games by Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So as a duo, 107 playoff games before they were able to claim their first championship. That's nothing compared to Al Horford. 186 playoff games, second only to Karl Malone, with the most playoff games ever before winning a title. And obviously Malone did not. At 38 years old, he's a feel-good story from this NBA championship. And we talked about it with Mark Kestisher, who joined us last hour from Boston. Pretty amazing to think about the fact that Horford, who did win a couple of titles with Billy Donovan and Joakim Noah. Remember, he was on that team at Florida in 06 and 07. That was the last college team to repeat before the UConn Huskies this past season. And now here he is, nearly 20 years in the NBA, his second stint with the Celtics. He was drafted third overall, and now in year 17, Al Horford gets to cradle the Larry O'Brien trophy. Amazing. Such cool stories. You'll be hearing about the individual perspectives and the journeys these guys took, sometimes winding roads, sometimes a more direct route like Jrue Holiday, though he's played for multiple franchises as well. I didn't realize, actually, he's in year 15. Did you know Jrue Holiday was 15 years into the NBA? I don't think I knew it was that many. But remember, he was in New Orleans, and then he was in Milwaukee.
Philadelphia for a while, right?
Was he in Philadelphia? Did I forget the Philadelphia part? Was in Portland for all of a couple of hours, and then shipped to Boston.
Yeah, he started in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. And then went to New Orleans.
Right. Then the right. Bucks and then Boston.
Right. I think his wife, who is a former U.S. women's soccer champion, has, you know, Lauren Holiday, also went through brain cancer. And he did take, at if not an entire year, a large chunk of one season completely off to take care of her, but also to take care of their kids because she was unable to do so. So he has at least 1 year, and I'm pretty sure it was in New Orleans, where he took off the majority of the season, if not all of it. I'll have to go back and look. But yeah, year 15 for Drew Holiday. Al Horford, his perspective, though, on his first stint, his first free agent run with Boston, he still remembers what Danny Ainge said to him about wearing Celtics green.
During free agency meetings in 2016, my agent and I, Jason Glushon, we were both sitting in the meeting, and we just kept looking at this enormous ring in Wick's hand, and we were just kind of, and we both after the meeting were like, did you notice that? Like it was just, that was the attention, and it's like, man, I never forget what Danny Ainge told me in that meeting. He said, you can win championships in many places, but there's nothing like winning in Boston. And nothing like winning as a Celtic. And that stuck with me from that meeting. And I was like, man, like I'm trying to be great. And that's what I want. And the fact that it has come, it has happened. JT, JB stepping up in a big way and leading us. It's special.
Something that's really been really going through my mind throughout this process is you can't lose sight of the people that came before us. And I want to make sure every person that's worked for the Celtics, that's played for the Celtics, that didn't win, knows that their work and what they've done hasn't gone unnoticed, or it doesn't play a part in where we're at today. It can be so easy when you work for this organization and you don't win that the work that people put in just gets brushed over or gets ignored. And when I first got here, the staff, you know, Brad's coaching, the staff that they had, the foundation that they built with these guys when they were young, the foundation of what we have, is one of the reasons why we're here today. And so I think that's one of the first things that came to mind was just because we won this doesn't mean what the people have done before us isn't just as important.
Joe Mazzulla mentioning guys who are not on this team. And I wonder, did he think about Marcus Smart? The fact that Smart was essentially a casualty of building this team. Other guys who are no longer on this roster, but Smart, of course, being a longtime Celtic, I've wondered often through this run in which they go 16-3. They're the most dominant team in the league by far this season. I wonder his perspective. I'm sure that he's been in touch with a bunch of these guys or that they're in touch with him. And I hope that they let him know exactly what Joe Mazzulla expressed. You were a part of this. You were a part of us getting to this point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm still waiting for one extremely obvious answer to our question. I have not seen it yet. I've seen some unique answers. I've seen some answers that we're likely to all share. But the question is, in light of the Celtics winning their record NBA title, number 18, which other teams in sports, whether fair or unfair, whether right or wrong, operate with the championship expectations every single year? Doesn't matter what they've done, who they've got. What matters is you're supposed to win a title. That's what we do here. Whether it comes from the fans or the media. Again, there are some obvious answers that we've thrown around, ones that we think a lot of you will have come to mind, and we're seeing a few other ones as well. So from Jeff on Twix, the Maple Leafs. Sanjay agrees with that. The Maple Leafs. Well, it's been a long time since they've won anything, too. The Lakers, the Yankees, the Cowboys. That's Jeff. And Sanjay also throws in the Steelers, as does Bob on Twitter. The Pittsburgh Steelers, most of us Yinzers have been asking for Tomlin's job for roughly a decade now. Oh, sorry, man. I hate to disappoint you, but he's sticking around through year number 20. Paul, by the way, just a little known secret about Paul. He is one of my students, one of my former students. So he likes the show and also big Celtics fan. But he writes Real Madrid and the Champions League, 15 total. Next closest is AC Milan with 7. And he goes on to point that Real Madrid has 6 titles since 2014. So that's a good one. We're retweeting these from our show account at Amy After Hours. And then on our Facebook page, too, if you haven't seen the new profile photo up on Facebook, it's in honor of a special occasion. I'll let you go and check it out. Paul points to the Atlanta Braves because of all their division wins over the years. At the start of every season, they're expected to go and win the World Series. I would say right now that expectation is accurate, and also going back to the days of Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine and John Smoltz and Chipper Jones, remember how many times they, similar to say the Celtics, how many times they appeared to have the championship formula and only won a single World Series title.
But they had 15 straight division titles.
And they only won in 95. That might be something the Dodgers can identify with. They've got the one title in 2020, but haven't they won 11 straight NL West crowns?
Did they win it the 1 year a few years ago when they had the last final game?
That's right. The Giants.
The Giants snuck in at the end, right?
Yeah, the very last day, the Giants end up grabbing that division title. You're right. But maybe it's 10 of 11,
something like that.
Something along those lines, and people would point to, oh, there should be an asterisk next to their title in 2020. People don't even give them credit for that one. So I like the Braves. That's a good one. Jeff includes the Montreal Canadiens. Again, a foundational franchise. It's an original six, right? Montreal?
Oh, yeah.
But not one that has had a ton of success. A lot of times, who do they run into? The Boston Bruins, who I would say probably do have those championship aspirations. I think they're unrealistic, but they've been around enough and they've had some, obviously some historic numbers, even going back to last year when they lost to the Panthers. That might be more just in Boston than it is universal. And I don't think the Patriots are in that place anymore either. They were for the 20 years of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, or almost 20 years, but I don't think they're there anymore.
That's where I'd say the Leafs are, where the Toronto Maple Leafs, where it's, if you're in Toronto and you're the Toronto media there, and then the fans, they expect them to win every single season. And if they don't, it's an absolute failure. But outside of Toronto, we know that they're not going to. So
yes. Yankees, Lakers, Dodgers, Cowboys, very popular answers. But Jay, I'm waiting. There's one that I have not heard, and I'll only say it's football. There is one that I have not heard.
I think I know it.
You do? All right. You and I are like exchanging eyeball looks. We're on the same page.
I'm going to the college ranks for this one, though. Mm-hmm. Not NFL. Alabama.
Yeah. I've not seen Alabama yet.
Was that it?
Oh, yes. That is it. Of course. I assumed that you knew what I was thinking. Jay likes to tell me he has ESP. Or he can read my mind sometimes. And then sometimes I think, how could you have thought that's what I was thinking?
Sometimes.
Yeah, no one's mentioned Alabama football. UConn women's basketball, of course. UConn men's basketball now, though still pales in comparison to the women. Alabama football. Where else in football are they expected to win college ranks? Clemson, I wouldn't say they were a flash in the pan, but
Georgia.
They're kind of down the other side. Georgia.
Notre Dame.
Yes. Regardless of whether or not they have the right people and how many times they've changed coaches and blah, 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 there is always a championship expectation with Notre Dame.
I mean, even Alabama, under a new head coach, they're going to still have to have the same exact expectation. Nothing's going to change.
Right. Of course not. So that post is up on both of our social media sites. We'd love for you to weigh in. The championship mentality doesn't just have to apply to the team ranks. So that's specifically what we're asking you about. I think a lot of people were surprised at the fact that Scottie Scheffler performed so poorly at the U.S. Open, right? Because after winning five titles this year and the way that he'd been able to conduct himself, even in the wake of getting arrested at Valhalla, day two of the PGA Championship, he goes out and I think carded a 67 on that Friday round. Going back to Tiger, of course, he was a victim of his own success in that if he didn't win a title, Well, something was wrong. So I think Scottie Scheffler is almost in that same realm. And so to see him get so frustrated on, I think it was Friday, where he kind of lost his cool. Right on the heels of, do we still have that cut from Little Titus? Who asked Scottie Scheffler about how he could remain so cool? And then on Friday, Scheffler loses his cool.
Hello, my name's Titus. Question I'd like to ask is, last weekend when you triple bogeyed that hole, you seemed to stay a little bit calm. How did you keep from getting frustrated from your bad shots?
So cute. So cute. Actually, I guess it was Saturday, forgive me, not Friday, because he did make the cut and he played through the weekend. But there was one moment that was talked about a ton in which he slammed his driver down. It was just so frustrated with how he's performing.
Been there.
Right. So, yeah, he had a one over on Saturday, but I think Friday was the tougher round for him. So, yeah, he was not the Scottie Scheffler that we've talked about or that we'd been admiring for the first 6 months of the year. And on that note, we will get to the U.S. Open just a little bit. I know you talked about it last night when I was not here, but I've got a few observations. I'm psyched for Bryson DeChambeau. I think the PGA Tour is probably ticked. That's another major that's gone to a live golfer in the past couple years. But even so, for Bryson, what a triumph. And yet it comes when Rory McIlroy leaves the door just wide open. I mean, large enough to drive a semi truck through. And he finally did speak out, quote unquote. He finally did surface. After bolting, I guess he peeled out of Pinehurst, North Carolina.
I don't like watching.
After finding out that he was going to lose again, he was going to be runner-up in a U.S. Open again. He was going to still extend that streak 10 years now without a major win and having it so close that he could taste it. He didn't want to talk. He did not face the media. The second he found out that Bryson won, he was out.
My patience.
His patience. I think he'd rather talk about Liv now. But instead, he posted a statement on Twix that we'll get to. Chicago Johnny is listening in Vegas. Hello.
Good morning, Amy. As much as I am not a fan of this team, but the Chicago Cubs are expected to be contenders every year. Their fans really does back them, and they're always the stadium is always packed. They could be 30 games out, and you still got a full house. So the expectation is always real for the Cubs to win.
So even when they were going through 108 years without a World Series title and had a goat curse, you still think that they were expected to win?
Especially when they were going through that drought. Even more. That shows how dumb they are.
How dumb the
Northside fans are.
Oh, let's not insult anyone. Are you a Southsider, Chicago Johnny?
I'm a Southsider,
babe. Oh, okay. You
know, as bad as the White Sox are, I will stick with them. But see, the difference between the North Side and the South Side, Cub fans go there, they have a good time at the game. They don't even know who the players are, and they have a good time. So
I know I've been. I love Wrigley Field. I loved that they won a random game in July when I was there, and I got to sing the Cubs song afterwards.
It is. I have to admit, it is a lot more fun at Wrigley Field than it is over at White Sox Park.
Yeah. When was the last time that the White Sox won a game?
2001, a baseball game?
Yeah. When was the last time they won a game?
Oh, my God. Well, they had a 14 game stretch of losing. Mm-hmm. And then I think they won two or three.
Brutal.
And so, yeah, they're a little trout. They got some work to do. But here's the problem. The owner, he also owns the Chicago Bulls.
Yes, right? Reinsdorf.
Reinsdorf. And he just, you know, he's 87 years old. They need someone else to take over that team.
Oh, you sound someone like a Dallas Cowboys fan now. We need someone other than Jerry Jones to take over the team.
That's never going to happen. Never going to happen. Nope. I hate to say it. There's only one way that's going to happen. And
oh, don't say it. Don't say it. Yep, no, don't say it.
You know what I'm talking about. Well, it's the same thing with Jerry Reinsdorf.
Well, don't sick the mob on him.
No. We're okay. We're okay. we're fine. But, you know, we just the White Sox fans, if you don't put a good product out there, they're not going to go to the game. See, that's in between the White Sox fans
and the Cubs. Fans. Yeah.
The Cubs fans, they go every game, and it's a good time, either inside or outside that park. Hmm. It really is. Ricketts really put a lot of money into that ballpark and made it very beautiful.
Well, yeah, and it's not just Cubs fans, though. I would say there's a lot of people who make that a vacation destination. For me, it was bucket list being at Wrigley Field with the ivy on the north side. So the neighborhood is a lot nicer. Jay just pointed out, it's a little nicer, maybe more pleasant.
Either inside or outside the park.
Yeah, to go to the north side of Chicago.
Yeah, but it's a lot safer than what you think. It's that bad.
I mean, I work in Manhattan, so let me just tell you about the safety issues. So I understand. Well, that's good. I like that the Cubs, when they were losing 108 years in a row.
Oh, yeah. See, let me explain to you about Chicago. When you go to Chicago, there's a lot to see, a lot to do, and we got great food. We really do.
I agree. But I love Chicago.
There's one thing Chicago does not have and never, ever will have. Skinny people.
Is what people?
Skinny people.
Skinny people. Oh.
We know how to eat. We eat all the good stuff.
It's the Italian mob, isn't it? I knew it.
Nah, I know what you're talking about, Amy. I have no idea. I know what you're talking about.
All right. Good to talk to you. So, glad to hear from you.
When you coming back to Vegas?
That's a good question. We've got 3 family weddings, a milestone birthday celebration this summer. And I don't think I'd want to go to Vegas in the summer anytime, really. So
it's a little hot.
Yeah.
We'll
let you know, though. Don't you worry.
All right. You take care. I'll be listening.
All right, Johnny. Good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. It's always nice to hear from him, his sense of humor. I think it's really funny that he believes it was a sky-high expectation for the Chicago Cubs, even when they were losing 108 in a row. I love this song. I don't even like the Cubs. I just love singing the song. I had so much fun. I went with cousins a couple years ago, and we had a blast. We were maybe 15 rows behind home plate, and so we were looking through a net, although those nets, we know, no, serve a very valuable purpose. And it was amazing to sing the song at the end. My cousin said to me, "We are not leaving. We we have to sing the song." I'm like, "What song?" And then, it was awesome.
When I went last summer, they won as well, luckily, and the song was sung. You have to. What are you going to do, sing it?
Fantastic. Exactly. Even if you aren't a Cubs fan, you just have to, when in Rome type of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, a couple of responses on our Facebook page. In light of the Celtics winning banner 18, I haven't raised it yet, though. What other franchises or teams in sports have sky-high expectations, as in championship or bust, every single season? James on Facebook says the Buffalo Bills. Kind of. I feel like there's a juxtaposition there, though. This is not a knock on Buffalo. But in addition to Buffalo, was the bad news Bears for quite a while until Josh Allen got there. And Sean McDermott, Josh Allen. But going back to the days where it was nothing but Hall of Famers on their roster and the 4 Super Bowls in a row. Oh, my gosh. What was it? Paul Maurice, who just said, ask. No, it wasn't. It was Chris Knobloch. Which one? Okay.
It was Knobloch.
It was Knobloch, who said that experience doesn't mean a whole lot, right? Just ask the Buffalo Bills because they went to 4 straight Super Bowls and lost. Jay's got a giant grin on his face.
I can't find it at my fingertips.
I think the Buffalo Bills now have Super Bowl aspirations and expectations from the fan base, but there's still always this feeling or this fear that the other shoe could drop at any time. And so then you have to guard against disappointment by saying, oh yeah, we expected that. We knew that was going to happen. The bad news, Bills. Reggie on Facebook goes with Alabama football. Thank you. William also says the Crimson Tide of Alabama. And actually, they're in the College World Series. Or they were. I actually didn't follow it over the weekend, so I'm not sure if they're still alive. Let's see. Philip, while the big three are here, he's in Pittsburgh, the Penguins. That's a good answer. Penguins with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. I understand why there would be championship expectations. Donnie on Facebook says the USA men's basketball team. Couldn't you also say USA women's soccer, too? They're always expected to win. Tony, University of Iowa wrestling, Darnell, Notre Dame football, and Cardinals baseball. And then one more from Chris. He says at the college level, the Tar Heels, North Carolina, baseball, LSU, women's lacrosse, Maryland. And then football is Florida State and Miami. So I love the wide variety of answers. Running late as usual, but
how much experience is, you know, beneficial? You can ask the Buffalo Bills how important Super Bowl experience is.
That was so unnecessary. That was so uncalled for. Speaking of uncalled for, a lot of people think Angel Reese and her flagrant foul on Caitlin Clark over the weekend was definitely uncalled for. Reese pushes back. Caitlin answers questions about Angel Reese, plus Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, in his own words, but not his own voice. And then, Jay, was the entire Joey Chestnut getting bounced from the hot dog eating contest, starting his own hot dog eatery with Kobayashi on Labor Day? Was that all a stunt? I thought that it might be a publicity stunt, but...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively.
Sports.
Shot clock at 4. Doncic. The step back 3. You bet.
Music.
You set my world on.
And even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here on TuneIn. Go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.
Start your summer road trip at Midas and get up to $30 off your next repair service. Plus, get a free closer look vehicle check to make sure you're road trip ready. So if you need a brake service, an alignment check, or tune-up, hit up Midas for up to $30 off. For more details, request your appointment at Midas.com.
It's gaining traction. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Basketball's my job. Like, everything on the outside, I can't control that, so I'm not going to spend time thinking about that. People can talk about what they want to talk about, create conversations about, you know, whatever it is, but I think for myself, like, you know, I'm just here to play basketball. I'm here to have fun. I'm trying to help our team win. You know, my focus is on helping us do that, but I don't, you know, pay much mind to all of that, to be honest.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, hey, the voice of Caitlin Clark. It's been a couple days since we've talked about her here on the show. However, it's not been more than a couple hours since the latest scandal revolving around Caitlin, and this time Angel Reese, or more than once it's been Angel Reese and some of her comments. And I know they are tied. they are intertwined, and the way that they got into the WNBA rookies the same season, their competition in the Final Four, all of that, they'll forever be tied together in some way or another. And now they are facing each other as teammates for the Fever and then the Chicago Sky. Well, Angel was challenging Caitlin as she was driving to the hoop. This in a nationally televised game over the weekend. And while Caitlin is going up for a shot, a layup, left side, Caitlin comes from behind and not, I'm sorry, Angel comes from behind and kind of to the side, the baseline, and appears to be going for the ball initially, but then somehow completely misses the ball and smacks Caitlin across the forehead, of course, knocking her down and jerking her neck back as well. Now, I did not see it live because we had family visiting over the weekend and because I was off last night, but I have gone back and watched it. I know my husband believes that it was worth an ejection. He actually said to me, "What do you have to do to get ejected in the WNBA?" And I said, well, flagrant twos are similar in the NBA where it has to be reckless and unnecessary and excessive. I think flagrant ones are more common. Anything to do with the head and the neck area, intent doesn't matter. If you're going to kick someone out of a game, generally you have to believe their intent was to be reckless or to, not to hurt someone necessarily, but to hit them on the top of the head. You were trying to hit them. It's hard to prove intent. It should be if you're going to kick a player out of a game. And he looked at the video again and said, okay, I can understand why it was a flagrant one and not a flagrant two. But according to Angel, there was no need for a flagrant anything.
On the flagrant, did you feel like that?
The basketball play.
Yeah. Did you feel like that was the appropriate call or?
It's a basketball play. I can't control the refs. They affected the game, obviously, a lot tonight. So.
But it did look like you were going for the ball.
I mean, I'm always going for the ball, but y'all going to play that clip, what, 20 times before Monday?
Before Monday, before Tuesday's show again, it's been everywhere. Of course, there's a greater spotlight on anything that happens with Caitlin Clark. It is getting to the point where I roll my eyes a little bit because I wish it could just be about basketball. For instance, she's, I think, what, a rebound and two assists shy of a triple-double in a game, this game over the weekend, and has some humongous shots late as the Fever were pulling away from the Sky. They've won back-to-back games for the first time all year. Instead, it's been flagrant fouls, Kennedy Carter, Angel Reese, who seemed to applaud the first one from Kennedy Carter. And also this whole controversy, conversation around her being left off the U.S. Olympic team. I'm glad when she has a big game and people want to talk about her growth in the WNBA. She's obviously working hard. But according to Angel, maybe, if we read between the lines, well, she's getting help from the Peeps and Stripes.
For inside, I mean, I think we were playing really hard. I think we went up really strong a lot of times, and we didn't get a lot of calls. And going back at looking at the film, I've seen a lot of calls that weren't made. I guess some people got a special whistle.
Oh, some people have a special whistle. Heavens to Betsy. That sounds like sour milk. Ooh. It's funny because a lot of people look at the games in which Caitlin's played and they say the opposite. She's not getting the calls. Her team, she's even said the same. I'm getting hammered out there and I'm not getting the calls. So, all right. This rivalry extends into the WNBA. But Caitlin has nothing negative to say, and even if she did, she would not say it publicly about Angel Reese.
What she's done with her platform has been absolutely incredible, and you know, she has an entire fan base that has supported her, and what she did at You know, Maryland and then LSU. Like, obviously, I've played her for a very long time, and she's been a tremendous player. So, you know, it's been fun getting to compete against. I think it's been really good for the game. Like, people just love seeing great matchups. But also, at the same time, like, people tune in for these matchups, but then they get to see how amazing these teams are. And then they find new players to support and continue to come back for them, too. So I think that's another benefit of it, honestly.
Again, she may not believe it, but she's going to say it. And I like to think that she's genuine. She's definitely humble. Gets fired up. She's trying to focus on the basketball as opposed to all this other stuff. I mean, you've heard her say multiple times, I don't want to be the reason why people are claiming racism or favoritism or blah, blah, blah. I don't want to be part of that. I just want to play basketball. I'm not listening to what other people are saying. I don't talk to other people in the league much. I talk to my teammates. I don't focus on social media. That's pretty much how she has to do it right now. Just because it's such a firestorm. Some positive, some negative. Everyone has an opinion. I actually think that's good for the league. General rule of thumb. I shared this with my students. It was shared with me by a program director, I don't know how many, 15 years ago. You want people to have a reaction to your show, whether positive or negative. You can't control that necessarily, but you want to have a strong enough opinion and a strong enough stance or a strong enough voice that people have a reaction. Some will love you, some will hate you. If there's no reaction, well, then you're in trouble. It's a little bit like being irrelevant in sports. When nobody talks about you, oh, that's worse than being hated. Yeah, you need to have a reaction from fans for them to keep listening, to keep coming back. Well, it's the same thing with the WNBA. I just wish it wasn't all so acrimonious, it seems like.
Does Caitlin Clark need the WNBA?
Does she need the WNBA?
Yeah.
Like, well, to getting, play basketball.
Does she, though? Because she had a huge offer from Ice Cube and his Big Three, and I'm sure there'd be other people who would love to pay her to come play wherever they want to. She's the one selling out the arenas, not these other teams, as we've seen. Right, but the NBA is just being totally nasty, and all these girls and all these other teams are being so rude, where, hey, I can just leave, and you guys are going back to nothing. It's true, though.
Well, I would say it's probably not all of them who are being nasty. A few highly publicized incidents. But for instance, Breanna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, they both supported her initially. We're actually going to talk to the president of the Connecticut Sun coming up on Wednesday. Also, the head of the USA Women's Basketball Selection Committee. That's Jennifer Rosati. We've finally been able to nail her down and get a time to talk to her on Wednesday. So we'll ask. But I think it's probably the minority who are maybe making the rest of the league look bad. But I do think here's two reasons why I would tell you Caitlin doesn't want to do those other things. Number one, she wants to succeed at the highest level, right? She's that driven, and she loves the team aspect of basketball. It's not quite the same 3-on-3, but also we've heard her say multiple times, she grew up watching the WNBA. This is why she wanted to be a basketball player.
It's a dream.
Right? Maya Moore is her idol, she's talked about in basketball. And so for her, this is the pinnacle. This is where she's always wanted to be.
I just feel like it's becoming about all this other crap and not basketball, right, like
but
you're saying.
Not necessarily for her, though.
I mean, yeah.
She's doing her best to tune it out. She's not fueling the fire, I don't
think.
But why
does she have to tune out this garbage when she's going to work and just playing basketball? That's all she's doing.
Why did Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have to hear about people saying their relationship is not great and they don't like each other? That's just what people do when they're bored.
That's not coming from, say, Giannis and Dame Lillard saying that, you know?
That's a good question. I like it. She's not going to be chased out of the league by this, though. She's not a snowflake. She's not a weak person. We know that.
I agree with that. Yeah.
She can handle all of what's thrown at her. Okay, got to go record a CBS Sports Minute coming up. Bryson DeChambeau, well, he talked about Rory, even though Rory didn't talk about Rory.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time, it all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
After the U.S. Open.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Another epic up and down at Pinehurst for a U.S. Open Championship. Bryson DeChambeau now has two, the second at number two.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bryson DeChambeau, a two-time major winner, both of them coming at what I think is the toughest major to win, the U.S. Open. And he had to navigate challenges and difficulties, mostly created by the fact that he did not hit his driver well the entire tournament. And yet somehow the ability to get up and down, I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of his idol Payne Stewart's game, but also Phil Mickelson, remember him? It didn't matter what kind of trouble he would get in, somehow that short game would bail him out over and over again. And Bryson was able to hit big putts, though he himself rimmed a putt out late in his final round on Sunday. It's just that Rory McIlroy had two short putts rim out in his final three holes, which left the door wide open for Bryson to come roaring through and win the U.S. Open. And he made the putts and got up and down when it counted. The final call there on CBS. Oh, it was on NBC. My fault. It was on NBC. I can't keep up with the golf tournaments. NBC Sports. And he also was, I watched this live, was dedicating this win to not just his dad, but speaking warmly of men and their dads on Father's Day.
Unfortunately, my dad passed a couple years ago, and this one's for him. Also to Payne Stewart, he was the reason why I went to SMU. He's the reason why I wore the cap. Pony up, that's right. go SMU. Wow.
He was really emotional. And the roars of the crowd, they were pretty incredible too. I don't know that they were Tiger roars. And maybe they wouldn't have been. Maybe they wouldn't have been as loud for him if there was, there was the potential for, there was the potential for a playoff for the U.S. Open. And I think with Rory and the disappointment of having those two late putts rim out, had Bryson been walking up, so let's say Rory was in front and Bryson's walking up the 18th tee, I mean, they're probably cheering for him, but maybe not as much, wanting Rory to finally win his first major in 10 years. Instead, it was the other way around. Because Bryson was able to hit the putts when he needed to, and it was Rory who had the gut-wrenching collapse. Now, a lot of golfers have come out in support of Rory. He bolted from Pinehurst on Sunday once he knew, did not want to talk to anyone, did not speak to the media, but Bryson spoke for him.
Rory's one of the best to ever play. And being able to fight against a great like that is pretty special. For him to miss that putt, I'd never wish it on anybody. It just happened to play out that way, and he'll win multiple more major championships, there's no doubt. And I think that fire in him is going to continue to grow. And I have nothing but respect for how he plays the game of golf, because to be honest, when he was when he was climbing up the leaderboard and he was two ahead, I was like, uh-oh. But luckily, things went my way today.
Well, and part of that is because it was a collapse by Rory. He had a two-stroke lead with five holes left at the U.S. Open. Bogeys on three of his last four holes. And I did not measure. I just knew they were short. He missed a two-and-a-half-footer for par on the 16th. And then missed a three-and-a-half-footer for par on the 18th. And those were two of those last three bogeys. But two of the last three holes. Short putts. And at the U.S. Open, of course, they want the greens to be diabolical. Rory watched DeChambeau's winning putt and then left the course 10 minutes later without talking to the media. He did release a statement congratulating Bryson and said that he needs some time off. He expects that he will be resilient, he will bounce back, and he'll keep chasing his first major in 10 years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively.
Sports.
Shot clock at four. Doncic. The step back three. You bet.
Music.
You set my world on fire. Yes,
and even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here on TuneIn. Go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.
Start your summer road trip at Midas and get up to $30 off your next repair service. Plus, get a free closer look vehicle check to make sure you're road trip ready. So if you need brake service, an alignment check, or tune-up, hit up Midas for up to $30 off. For more details, request your appointment at Midas.com.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.